You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Brian in for Joe. I'm still Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. So the Texans re-signed Trent Brown today. We heard rumors of this. Aaron Wilson saying that there's mutual interest. I like Trent Brown on this football team. So I like that they signed Trent Brown. 1 year, $7 million. Question now becomes, Brian, is Trent Brown your starting right tackle?
I think Trent Brown, and I don't think this deal gets rid of this possibility. I think we talked about this the other day. Like, he fell into a group of players where I was okay if they brought him back, but only if they brought him back on a contract that they didn't mind someone they drafted beating him out at some point in the season, whether it be, you know, first game of the season or sometime through the year as a rookie progresses. Like, I like Trent Brown. I view him as kind of a middle of the pack right tackle, but there's certainly room for improvement, and he's obviously kind of old, so you know the downward slide is going to be there at some point. But he's serviceable. I just hope this doesn't make Nick Caserio go, okay, right tackle, check, on to the next one. Like, good as a stopgap, but let's hopefully aim a little higher.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the move that you make where you stop trying to
add. Yeah, if you treat him as a swing or as a let's have this guy here until whoever comes next is ready, great. I'm perfectly on board with it. But if it's right tackle, check, move on, then I have a problem.
I think it restricts them going after a right tackle in free agency.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Now, I don't think it restricts them if they fall in love with a tackle in the draft that he would be the starter over said tackle if he gets beat out.
First round
similar,
still?
Maybe. You know, it depends. It depends on how the draft falls. Like, going into this offseason, though, I didn't want the Texans to enter the draft like, we have to draft this position, because I think it puts you in a really tough spot. It makes it very difficult to trade up. And maybe the Texans were even in this position last year when they were trying to trade up for guard, and they couldn't find a guard because all of them were taken, and the Texans didn't have success trading into the middle of the first round. So I wanted them to go into the draft, which is still a little bit away in April here, where they have an offensive line in place where they don't need to draft offensive linemen, but also not reluctant to draft offensive linemen because you spent so much money on a guy. I think Trent Brown fits it perfectly, because I agree with you. Like, $7 million, like, is that a lot for a swing tackle?
And it's up to $7 million. Like, we don't,
there's incentives,
I don't,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't, at least I don't think the news.
It's really irrelevant, though. But yeah. It's not a contract that's going to restrict you from him being your swing tackle.
Right.
If you're paying him a little, even if he gets all the incentives, which he wouldn't if he was your swing tackle, but just for the sake of the conversation, $7 million a year, whatever. Because if he gets beaten out at right tackle, it's for the rookie who's making nothing. So you're paying a rookie tackle, $1 million, $1.5 million, whatever it's going to be, maybe more than that, maybe $2-3 million. You're paying that position $10 million for a solid player. That works. And then on top of that, you get your swing tackle. So I like the re-signing of Trent Brown. I wouldn't want to go into next season with him being a starter, because he does have injury concerns. So it worries me that if he was starting all 17 games, he's going to find a way to get hurt. But if you had to have him start, I'm cool with him starting, a handful of games. I still hope that they address the position in the draft, but if you can't, he's a good fallback option. So I like that they locked up Trent Brown. This was something I'm in favor of them doing, and kind of predicted that if they signed him, I would be happy about it.
Yeah, like I liked what you mentioned there with kind of the overall allocation of money towards the position, because we saw last year them give, what was it, a $10 million to Cam Robinson, to $12 million for that 1 year?
12.
And they were still willing to move on really quickly, right? So if you're talking about upwards of $7 million for Trent Brown, then tack on, let's say, $2 or $3 million for a rookie you draft in the first or the second round, then your overall allocation to that position is still about the same as Cam Robinson. So I don't think you're not locking yourself into Trent Brown because he's making so much money and you can't afford to not give him the job because of what you paid him. But it also doesn't take away from what you could spend to other positions. So yeah, overall, as long as the plan is, like we said, like, okay, Cam Robinson, he's there. He's kind of the stopgap. Let's continue looking for his predecessor, because we know that he's a little bit older. He's a little bit injury prone. Great. And I don't think Caserio is locking up this position. That's my assumption. So I'm all for it if that actually turns out to be the plan.
We agree, though, that not a right tackle in free agency?
Yes, because I don't think it makes sense to pay him upwards of $7 million and then also go pay, like, okay, if it's a free agent, you know, just hypothetically, a free agent right tackle that costs $1 million and you know he's a backup, then whatever. But
Yeah, it would be starting.
Yeah, exactly. That's more where the conversation was, like, something that was significant that would actually have a chance to push for playing time. No, I would not do that at right tackle. I wouldn't want to pay two guys to be one swing tackle, basically. So I'd be against going out and paying a decent amount of money in free agency for another right tackle.
Yeah, we're simpatico on that. Like, I have a tough time, and maybe like a backup depth guy, you know, camp body, something like that, but not somebody who's actually going to be like on the two deep. Because remember, we had seen reports that the Texans were in on the Colts tackle, Braden Smith.
Yeah.
His contract projection, according to The Athletic, is $53 million.
No, I think that conversation,
like, they're not paying $17.5 million for a tackle whenever they just paid $7 million for the swing guy. Now, in the draft, it's very much in play. And I also, like, we looked at this from the Trent Brown perspective, but if you look at it from the if you were to take a rookie right tackle, you're also putting the rookie right tackle in a spot where if he's not ready, you don't have to force him into action.
Yeah.
So it's really the kind of the same way they used Ursary.
Like Ursary, a safeguard.
Yeah, like Ursary, when they drafted Ursary, I don't think they drafted Ursary like he's our day one tackle, whether it was left tackle or right tackle. Like you mentioned they had Cam Robinson around. Like, they were probably projecting him to be the starting left tackle. But then Ursary comes in, kind of beats him out of his job, and then, okay, well, now we're going to trade Robinson, save a few bucks. We do have Trent Brown, so that kind of makes it a little easy there. The Texans are positioning themselves where if they like a tackle, they'll take a tackle, but also not putting that tackle in a position where if they're not ready, that they're starting from day one. So you kind of ramp them up. You have the possibility or the option to do that, which I kind of like if you're drafting a second-round tackle like Ursary was.
Yeah, because especially, look, not to belabor or beat a dead horse here with Nick Caserio's history of drafting offensive linemen, but I don't expect whoever he takes to be like a day one stud, starts right away, like a Dwayne Brown or whoever you would put in that class of tackle. So I think it's nice to build in safety nets across the line where, okay, we fake it, it's going to be this guy, but if it's not that guy, then we can go here. So I like the idea, not only because of what I mentioned with Caserio's draft history, but I wish I had the numbers in front of me so I could quote them. But tackle's also one of those positions I've seen pointed out by Lance and other draft guys that I think even more than quarterback, where you pretty much, more so than other positions, find your studs in the first round, and it tapers off more dramatically second round and beyond than it does at other positions. So if the idea that Caserio goes in the draft is, okay, let's look for a tackle in the second round, and I know he's best player available, maybe it is first round, or maybe it's a trade back and he picks it at 30, whatever. Like, I just like the idea of, because of the draft history of those players taking the second round, that you're not going to have to count on him day one.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Like, it's a spot where he has to play well in order to be the day one starter. Not that you're giving up on him if he's
no,
not.
No, you just still know the history of the players taking the second round that most likely, not saying he's going to be Blake Fisher, but most likely he's not going to be ready to start day one, so you build in the safety net of Trent Brown that he could step in until that guy's ready.
One of my fears was that they were going to end the draft having a complete nobody at one of these offensive line positions and just completely tip their hand and be held over the barrel in all sorts of negotiations, and then also have teams trying to trade in front of them if they needed a position that the Texans have zero depth at. So this gives them that depth, and it doesn't put them in a tough spot on draft day. So I like the signing. If he's forced to start a few games at right tackle, I'm okay there. And look, even if he's your day one starting right tackle, if he can stay healthy, he's good enough to man the position, and you get for $7 million, like, no big deal.
He was middle of the pack. I mean, for whatever it's worth, PFF grade, he was middle of the pack. It was not on
that's fine. $7 million,
yeah, exactly.
Middle of the pack gets paid way more than $7 million.
You know, he only gave up one. Now, I know it wasn't the full season because he didn't start the year as the right tackle, but he only gave up one sack last year according to PFF.
That'll play.
So, like, yeah, I mean, I ideally, someone of his age and injury history, I wouldn't want to pencil him in for 17 starts. But if he's a stopgap and someone that can fill the void until a rookie's ready, I'm fine with that. And then go spend your free agency money on the interior.
I do think Braden Smith, the dream of him being a Texan, is done, though.
Yeah, I agree. It's dead.
It would have to be a rookie. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Monday, it's going to be hot and heavy. NFL free agency. What's the plan for the Texans? The latest on the Texans. Some rumors, some innuendo on what the Texans just might be looking to do in free agency. 713-780-ESPN. Brian filling in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Rally up, H-Town. Here in a little bit, we're going to be talking about how Ime Udoka needs to handle this rotation. Everybody wants Reed Shepherd to start. I don't really care who starts. I care about the minutes. But I got the perfect minute distribution coming up a little bit later. You don't really care about that. But you might care about the Houston Rockets playing some basketball. You like to watch the Rockets. Who doesn't like to watch the Rockets? It's fun to watch the Rockets. You know what's even funner than watching the Rockets? Watching the Rockets have fun with people that you're having fun with at Tom's Watch Bar, Red Nation rallies at Green Tree. Like-minded fans like you that think watching the Rockets is fun, you get to hang out with all the people that think watching the Rockets is fun. So get on out there to Tom's Watch Bar, Red Nation rallies at Green Street. They fire up 2 hours before tip-off, so there's plenty of time to pregame, have a good old time before you walk over to the arena. But 2 hours before tip-off, Tom's Watch Bar's got DJs for you. That's good. Gets the party started. Giveaways, awesome. If it's free, give me three. Themed cocktails, who doesn't love a themed cocktail? Everybody loves a themed cocktail, and much, much more. Plus, the party in there is red hot. Tons of people to hang out with, to have fun with, and then walk over to the game. And here's the kicker that I like. You can park free with Tom's validation if you are headed to the game. So it's a great spot. It's very close to the arena. You go to Tom's, get validation, you park for free. You know, some parking down there is $25-$30. So you're saving money for those themed cocktails. But come back after the game as well for post-game drinks and highlights on their 65 plus screens, a great spot to watch your sports. Get the schedule at tomswatchbar.com/rednationsrally. Rally up, H-Town. Get over there, tomswatchbar.com/rednationrallies.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe George today. He's at the rodeo. What do you think Joe wore to the rodeo today? 713-780-3776.
Basketball shorts and a faded bear shirt.
T-shirt.
And an ESPN hat.
Chicago-themed T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
ESPN Houston hat. You don't think he has a cowboy hat?
I don't. No.
You don't think he's got cowboy boots?
I do not.
You don't think he's got a 20-inch belt buckle?
I do not. I'd be willing to place money on all those, especially the belt buckle.
Yeah.
There's zero chance he has a big belt buckle.
Zero chance he has any of those things.
Yeah, he's not wearing a platter around his waist there.
No.
I think the most likely would be a hat, but I don't think he has that.
No. He does like hats.
Yeah.
75 says Ryan looks ready to leave. Ryan, are you ready to leave?
No.
There you go.
Solved.
Ryan said he's...
Case closed.
He said he's not ready to leave. 75.
I'm just glad he didn't go full Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
I
dropped some F-bombs.
I would have preferred it.
Yeah, it would have made it for an interesting... Well, he'd had to dump himself, but it would have been interesting.
All right, so here are some of the things that are being reported that the Houston Texans are going to be in on in free agency. Aaron Wilson with some intel. He also said that there's going to be interest with... Trent Brown, so check mark there.
Hey, got one right.
Some of the things he talks about, Texans plan to restructure Derek Stingley's contract, which I heard Caserio on with PP on 610 earlier today. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched the interview that they had, and he kind of touched on some restructure stuff. So I think that this is going to be accurate. I think they will restructure Stingley. He's got a big contract. There's more wiggle room.
And that feels pretty routine for teams this time of year. There's any guy with a long-term contract, they're going to try to finagle the salary cap to make more room. So I don't think there's anything to see there. But, yeah, I could see it happening.
Danielle Hunter wants a contract extension, according to Aaron Wilson.
Interesting.
I think he gets a year added to his deal.
He has – yeah, because they just did this. Didn't they just do this last year where they also added a year to his deal?
I think they did.
Yeah, so I guess as long as they don't see drop-off, I guess they'll just continue adding a year at a time to his deal.
Plus, I think it helps you with cap space if you do it right, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that makes – it's kind of what they did with Joe Mixon when they got him here. He was on a 1-year deal, and they made it like a 2- or 3-year deal, but it afforded them salary cap savings. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it'll happen. The next one that Aaron Wilson says is Aziz Alshire and the Texans have mutual interest in an extension. Aziz's current contract, next season he's going to get $15 million, cap number $15 million. And then the year after that, $9 million, but it's avoidable year, no guarantee. So I think that they also probably tack on a year or two to Aziz's contract.
Maybe they just make that next year guaranteed.
Could.
Yeah, I don't know what that would do towards the cap. Like, $15 million, without looking at the rankings or that would put him at for inside linebackers, feels like a little much, but also...
Feels light.
Does it? Okay. Well, I also, like, even if it was a little heavy just for sake of conversation, like, I also don't want to add inside linebacker to the grocery shopping list this year. So I'm like, yeah, okay, just whatever. Just keep him here so that we don't have – so the Texans don't have to then add that onto, you know, interior defensive line, interior offensive line, and all the other things they need to do.
Yeah, I think that'll get done. That doesn't really surprise me at all. Texans are expected to adjust the contract of new running back David Montgomery.
Does that scare you a little bit?
Yeah, because part of my attraction Montgomery, hopefully not that, but part of my attraction for David Montgomery is I feel like he gets underpaid, and I feel like his return on his dollar is pretty high. So, like, a lot of people are like, aging running back. Well, you know, not a huge workload, but fine. Like, he's a little bit older. High draft pick price, fourth rounder, seventh rounder, Juice Scruggs. Don't really care about Juice in the seventh rounder, but the fourth rounder, kind of high for a running back, period. I understand that, but my allure for David Montgomery was the contract.
Yeah.
Like, that he's super affordable. $6 million next year, $9 million the year after that, and none of it's guaranteed. So, like, if he had a bad year this year, you get out of it for free. So, I kind of saw it coming. So, like, you know, tippers my expectation here. But I hope they don't do the whole Diggs thing. That would be terrible.
Yeah, this seems to fit. Because I agree with you, but this seems to fit Nick Caserio's MO, right? Like, he's done this now with a few veterans that they brought in here. I mean, they didn't do it for Christian Kirk, but it feels like a lot of these guys they bring in, they do this for, because it's what we've seen he does for guys already on the roster when he gives out extensions, too. He just gives them top of the market. Like, he's pretty player. I'm not saying he's, like, extreme player-friendly, but if we're going to have a scale, he's definitely on the side of player-friendly with what his decisions are.
I would say he errs on the side of being player-friendly.
In keeping the relationship with the agents as well.
And everything. Your player contracts, even in the guaranteed to rookies.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, exactly. I don't know if it was technically history, but they were certainly on the early side of it with the guaranteed contracts on the second round last year.
No, I think that they've had a couple of rounds where they paid their slot more guaranteed money. And I want to say that there was like a fourth round of the year before.
Was there?
Then whenever he does that, because the agent's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're going to pay me more guaranteed from this slot than NFL history? Yeah, of course I'll sign that. And then that slows everybody behind him. That's why, like, there was everybody after Higgins, like, signed late.
Yeah, I believe I don't remember what point it was. I think it might have been right up to the final week before training camp. But Higgins and one other player were the only second round picks signed out of 32. It was just two of 32 that were signed. And it was because Jaden Higgins got a fully guaranteed contract, which hadn't been done much, if at all, at that point. So this tracks with Nick Caserio's MO. I don't like it, but I'd be willing to see what the details are before I condemn it. But I do think Aaron Wilson's probably right about this.
I would agree. I think that something will happen there. I just hope that it doesn't give away what I consider
the advantage,
super team-friendly contract that David Montgomery's on. Because part of the reason that I was okay with them trading a fourth was because his contract is so friendly. So I hope that they can meet in the middle where, hey, maybe you guarantee the money, but the cap number kind of stays the same type of deal.
Yeah, it just feels like, because the report was, at least the one I saw, that David Montgomery told the Lions if he's going to get moved, he wants to come to Houston.
Yeah.
I know they can't technically – well, I guess they can have those conversations if it's trade. But it feels like this was probably a conversation that happened before the trade was made, that, hey, if you come here, you're coming here in part because we're willing to compensate you and give you a little bit more guaranteed money. I don't think he says the Texans are his team if they're – set a hard line against giving him some guaranteed money.
I don't really care about the guaranteed money. I just don't want it to impact the cap number so they can have the wiggle room, of course, in free agency. Texans are expected to cut Joe Mixon. Yeah, we all think that. I'm a little surprised they haven't yet. Ed Ingram could potentially be priced out of the Texans' budget there. So that would be interesting because now you need another starting offensive lineman.
Yeah. No, I do think that's where the Texans spend most of the free agency money is interior offensive line. Now, I say most. I don't know if there's going to be a big ticket item, but yeah, that is interesting there because Sheldon Rankins. I think what we talked about before was his market was looking around 13 to 15 per year. So yeah, I wonder what that means that Sheldon Rankins is now being projected to go up to. But I was already a little iffy on wanting to pay. I think I said Sheldon Rankins. I was already iffy on paying Ed Ingram $13 million because good run blocker, iffy pass blocker. I wasn't super enthused about it, but I was willing to do it just to take another question mark off the table that they had to fill because he was good enough, kind of like the Trent Brown conversation. But if it goes beyond 13, 15, creeps up above that, then I'm probably with the Texans on letting him or he's saying he's priced out.
The Texans, or the Athletic, rather, doesn't have Ed Ingram on their top 150.
Oh, really?
Free agents.
Yeah.
But it has Trent Brown on their top 150. It has Tyrod Taylor in their top 150. I think they forgot that Ed Ingram existed.
Yeah, he'd have to be up above Tyrod.
Yeah.
Trey Pipkins, Tyrod.
Hollywood Brown, Kareem Hunt.
He'd have to be above Kareem Hunt.
Christian Kirk.
Whatever. Yeah, they clearly forgot him. There's no way he wouldn't be above
they forgot who
Tyrod
was.
Taylor.
Yeah, they must have already thought that he was. They must have thought he wasn't a free agent.
That's yeah, I don't remember where we got that market projection. I guess it was from SpotTrack, but $13 million already made me feel iffy. So if they're talking about being priced out and it's creeping over 15 or whatever the number is, then I get them passing on that. I just hope they have a plan to then replace that spot.
Sheldon Rankins, they say there's mutual interest there. The Athletic has his projection at $5.25 million, which that feels
fine.
Fair.
Isn't that less than he got last year? It was like I think last year was 7.
Yeah, I think it was 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And it's also kind of the Trent Brown thing where even if you draft a defensive tackle at 28, you don't have to start Sheldon Rankins at $5.25 million. And the Texans rotate so many defensive linemen,
and they need depth there because they're losing what Settle, they're losing
everybody's a free agent except for Tommy Tagai.
Right. Togi so guy. Yeah, bring Rankins back. At least have two guys there that you like, and then fill out the rest.
EJ Speed, the Texans have mutual interest in a new deal. That'd be fine.
Yeah, man, either way.
It probably wouldn't be a big contract, though.
No, like, I like him as a special teams player. They don't seem to love him as playing a part of the regular defense because he wasn't on the field a whole lot. But
also don't hate him as a third linebacker.
Yeah,
so if you're paying him linebacker money,
I'm mostly indifferent to that, but it's fine.
Team is interested in bringing back Trent Brown, he signed, and Tommy Townsend. Texans would like Derek Barnett back, which is interesting because he's kind of been around forever. But, whatever. If it's cheap, whatever.
Yeah, that feels almost like... Not to say Caserio doesn't mean it, but like I'm sure Caserio appreciates Derek Barnett for having him since he's had him here the last few years. That almost feels like, yeah, we like to have him back, but you don't really mean it because you can do better and he's getting a little bit older. But sure, if you want like the literal minimum, we'll bring you back. But I don't really put a lot of stock into that.
I think they like each other. I think Barnett likes playing in this scheme, and I think the Texans like him. But the price has to be right, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Townsend. Like, I'd be willing to bring back Townsend, but it's got to be a number that doesn't make me.
Some from Jonathan Alexander. Texans aren't likely to spend top money on a singular free agent, but are looking to add 3+ starting caliber linemen. Okay, I like the sounds of that.
So, like, would you read that as more Trent Brown signings?
There's more on Brown in a little bit, but yeah, kind of. Yeah, probably not a Linderbaum, but if you can find 2 offensive linemen for the price of 1 type of thing.
I'd like to see 1 interior offensive lineman with a commitment more in the caliber of play that goes with that than a Trent Brown. Just my guy, because I don't think you could go in the draft and...
Well, I think it's Trent Brown plus 2 other guys. Like, he says to add 3+ starting caliber linemen.
Okay,
I think
Trent Brown counts as one. Yeah, I would just like one of the interior... Because right now, there's obviously Patterson and David Andrews. They're fine, but I would like to have – and Ingram was penciled in to be one of these guys, but now the earlier report says they may be priced out. I would just like there to be at least one, not significant, not a Linderbaum level, but at least one decent investment in tier offensive line. That way the Texans aren't having to try to find that all through Trent Brown-level players or rookies.
Many on the coaching staff think they can upgrade at center and will try.
Maybe that's it.
Danico Autry wasn't happy with his role last year, won't be back. So kind of saw the writing on the wall there. He thinks
fine.
He can play. Think there's a good chance Trent Brown is back, which happened. They could let Brown rookie Fisher compete for the other tackle spot, which kind of what we talked about. Now, the thing that jumped out to me is Fisher. Like, I didn't even think Fisher would be in this competition.
No, I could see him being the swing tackle or the heavy tight end or whatever, but I wouldn't really buy that he's actually in the right tackle competition.
I want Linderbaum to help CJ with protections. I would love Linderbaum. I just don't think they're going to afford him. No, he's going to make a lot of money. What's the, let's see, athletics projection on Tyler Linderbaum, who they have as the fifth best free agent in all of football. They have him at 4 years, $78 million. That's almost $20 million a year.
There's no chance.
Yeah, it's going to be too much. No, especially when they need multiple linemen.
What about Teller?
Teller wouldn't be that much. Teller, 2 years, $20 million, $10 million a year. I've seen some kind of chatter about Teller. I think it was Jason Braddock. Maybe even Texans Jacob, I think, kind of came together. Where they think that they watched Teller on film and didn't like what they saw.
Really?
Yeah, and I respect both of their opinion, so I didn't love reading that. And then, you know, if
maybe not that specific player, but 2 years, $20 million kind of feels like the investment I'm talking about. Like a little bit above Trent Brown, but like I just – something that says we view this guy as a legit starter that's not in competition.
That other guy that they were for the Panthers, Cade Mays, that they've like been mutually linked to, he's 3 years, $22.5 million.
Same.
So it's a little over $7 million. That would be an upgraded center over Andrews.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I'd be good with that.
I'd be totally fine. I think they're going to be all right here on the offensive line. I feel like EJ Speed was always making plays. Is that only me? No, it's not only you. I liked what I saw from EJ Speed. Joe definitely wore a denim banana hammock to the rodeo.
not an image I needed.
Junkie says that he wore a pink cowboy hat with sparkly tassels.
Couldn't see that.
What did Joe wear to the rodeo today? 713-780-3776. Junkie, I think I speak for literally everybody when I say nobody cares about the Texans. Talk about WBC and Astros. Also, Reddick coined banana route. Reddick didn't coin banana route. We've talked a lot about the Astros and the WBC today, and a lot of people are texting about the Texans.
Right? Are people really clamoring for WBC talk? I can't imagine that to be true.
I don't think so.
That feels like a very vocal minority.
What's your starting offensive line lineup? I'll tell you in 3 months.
You're reserving?
Well,
we don't have it's an incomplete puzzle. We're trying to put together a puzzle with a bunch of missing pieces right now.
There might only be one starter right now.
Ursary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to think
there's two in either being Andrews or Brown. That they don't replace both.
Well, I think Brown can be.
I think Andrews can be. I think they probably have two. I don't think they replace four more player or spots on the roster.
Oh, I wouldn't be stunned if they have four new starters. Would not be stunned at all.
I'd be at least slightly surprised.
I think they could sign three free agents and draft a guy.
But they all start, well, not maybe not week one, but they all start by the end of the season?
Yeah.
I guess that's possible. They have had a complete overhaul. I saw someone mention that offensive line that gave up 8 sacks against Kansas City in the playoffs 2 years ago, I think there were 12 offensive linemen on that roster. Only 2 of them are still with the team. So they've had almost a complete overhaul of the offensive line in just 2 years. So maybe that is the way that Casario goes. But it feels overly optimistic to replace 4/5 of your offensive line.
I think it's possible for Casario to overhaul this offensive line.
He is a wheeling-dealing son of a gun.
He is that. 713-780-3776. There's a big trade in the NFL today. Buffalo Bills get a receiver. Do they pay too much, though? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Brian on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. A blockbuster going on right now in the property tax world, too. You're paying too much on your property taxes. We had that junkie earlier saying they're paying 5 figures on their property taxes. It's too much. You need to own well in your life. Ownwell.com. It's easy to do. You just head online, sign up in 3 minutes, and Ownwell is going to save money for you. They also email you every step of the way to let you know the progress, what's going on, risk-free. You don't owe any money up front, and you only pay if you save. Isn't that beautiful? You only have to pay if you save money. Who else does that? Ownwell does that. Property taxes keep going up. Home ownership, property management is a headache, as we all know. You need Ownwell in your side fighting those property taxes for you. You may have been to a property tax hearing. Expensive lawyers, hearings are a grind, long waits, confusing rules, inconsistent appraisers. That's why Ownwell is great for you, because their experts will handle everything, saving you time and money. And And also, like, their numbers are staggering. 140,000 Houston properties already use Ownwell. Ownwell has lowered property taxes for more than a half a million Texans. You can be one of them. And 60,000 property owners switched to using Ownwell last year. I was one of those 60,000 last year. I went over to Ownwell.com. I put in my information. That's it. That's all I did. I put in my information, gave them the details they wanted, didn't do anything else. They emailed me every step along the way. They told me how much they saved at the end of the process. I cut them a check for how much I owed them because they saved me money. If they saved me nothing, I didn't owe them a dime. That's what's beautiful about Ownwell. So don't wait. The deadline to protest May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com, and let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
YouTube Keith, you're not doing the most punchable face in Houston sports media. Got pushback from the suits. Plus, that's already a segment I think somebody else uses.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, it kind of does sound like something. I mean, well, everything on radio has been done, but I think I have heard that before. Plus, we did forget, but what we pivoted to was the Cal bracket, and then we forgot. So, did forget, we pivoted, and then forgot about what we all pivoted to. Which was the Cal bracket.
Yeah, Cal bracket. Which is not, it's not bracket time yet.
Yeah, we still have time. Don't give up on us.
Junkie, this is a great segment, guys. I'm being serious. Love to drive home. Listen to you guys. Keep up the good work. Yeah, we don't like kindness around here. Well, he doesn't know where the run button's at.
Oh, I think he does. Ryan, you know where the run button is, right?
I literally just asked him, Ryan, and he shook his head no.
Oh. It's on the right-hand side of my first... the tab. This is really inside baseball.
Yeah, this is
here.
Some producer radio. Yeah. Producer to producer conversation.
Brian one page, right side, their yellow buttons. Get out of or you're out of here, and then the run music right below it.
Let's just do it later.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
Junkie Joe's Rodeo Outfield, 20-gallon hat, aviators, bolo tie. Bolo ties are awesome. Chaps, boots, and spurs. Eric the buyer.
Bolo ties are awesome.
They are cool. I don't own any. I've never worn one. I can't pull it off.
You know who does pull it off? Phillip Rivers.
Big Bob pulls it off.
Oh, Big Bob. Okay.
Big Bob Cookson can pull off the bolo tie like I've never seen.
Phillip Rivers would wear them in the post-game pressers.
Did he?
At the stand, yeah. He pulled them off.
X took away dark mode on iPhone, and I'm ticked about it. I didn't realize they did that. Yeah. I'm too lazy to go to dark mode.
I never use dark mode.
I'm not opposed to dark mode, but I just...
I'm too lazy to do it. It's not like a deal breaker if I log onto a computer where it's already there, like here, like a shared computer at work. I don't bother with changing it, but I don't prefer it.
Junkie says, I love listening to your show in my huge Silverado 1500 with my favorite trim and my favorite color. Thinking about getting a new 2026 Silverado 1500 from Monument Chevrolet during that supplier discount that you were just talking about.
Is this a live read?
Appreciate it. No, 7308 just texted that.
Is that your
burner?
I mean,
it might be GM.
Are you using a burner to tweet in live reads?
No, it wasn't me. It might be GM Jeff. Could have been Jeff doing it.
Maybe KD's angling for a sponsorship, and he's tweeting in or texting in with his burner.
Joe is definitely rocking jorts and boots. That'd be funny.
The image is funny, but there's no chance he owns jorts.
What is Joe wearing to the rodeo? 713-780-3776. So there was a big trade in the NFL today.
It was.
The Buffalo Bills get their receiver as they trade a second rounder to Joe's Chicago Bears. They get back DJ Moore in a fifth. Who do you think won this trade, Brian?
Chicago. I like DJ Moore, and I think he's an improvement over anybody that they currently had there. But I didn't see his value as a second-round pick. Now, I think part of why, because his numbers were way down last year. Like, he had career lows in catches and yards. But obviously, a big part of that is they found other weapons that they like. Obviously, drafting of Colston Loveland, drafting of Luther Burden, and then Rome Odunze more in the first half. Odunze fell off in the second half and was hurt a little bit. But I think he more fell out of target as they added more weapons. But so I don't think necessarily his play's fallen off, but I don't think his play is also worth a second-round pick. Like, he's been a guy that's always been – like, he had the 1,300-yard season. They got him paid in Chicago. And maybe you could argue, oh, well, he was just held back in Carolina because of poor quarterback play, which is fair. But, like, he's never been a game-breaker to me, so a second-round pick feels a little high.
I think it's a win-win. I really like this trade for both parties. It was time for DJ Moore to leave Chicago. You know, they got Rome. They got Loveland.
Burden.
Caleb Williams. Burden, who they drafted last year.
Cole Kmet still.
I don't really
That's the second tight end. He's fine.
I think I read he was once out.
Oh, really? I can somewhere. See that. He knows he's not the one now.
But anyways, it makes sense for them to move on from DJ Moore. Them getting a second rounder back for DJ Moore in that contract is a win for Chicago. But I also think it's a win for Buffalo. Like, it was a late second round pick. 2 years ago, you used an early second round pick on Keon Coleman, who's been an absolute bust.
Yeah.
DJ Moore is immediately your best receiver.
Fact.
Pairing him with a quarterback like Josh Allen. And then it's kind of similar to how I felt about the Texans trading Montgomery for a fourth. Like, on the surface, it feels like a lot. But then you start looking at some of these wide receivers who are free agents. Mike Evans is the top receiver free agent, according to The Athletic. Alec Pierce, who they're talking about huge money.
Yeah.
After Alec Pierce, you have to scroll all the way down to Wandale Robinson. Well, I like Wandale, but Wandale's a piece.
Yeah, he's had back-to-back really good years.
He's a piece, though.
But I don't view him as good as DJ Moore.
He's not a one.
If
they sign Wandale Robinson, he's a cast. He's a part of the cast there in Buffalo. He's not their bona fide stud number one. He might be their best receiver,
right?
But he's not their head and shoulders number one guy. DJ Moore is their head and shoulders number one guy. So you get a dynamic receiver to Josh Allen, who is obviously very, very good, and you're trading a late second round draft pick. I like it for Buffalo as well.
Yeah, no, even though I do think Chicago won the trade, that is not to say that I think Buffalo made some awful decision, because they clearly upgraded their wide receiver position. I view DJ Moore as their one. I don't view him as a top end one, if that makes sense. Like, to me, he's number one in Buffalo because the rest of the roster isn't great, to the point where their GM was getting questions last year and he got a little snarky like Casario, like, "Oh, we're still winning 12 games. What are you talking about wide receivers?" Well, he maybe started listening because he just went out and traded a second for a wide receiver. So I think it is a move that makes sense for Buffalo. I think it improves their offense. I just don't think it's game changing. And second feels a little high, but I mean, it's a nitpick. I would have said third. It's a late second. It's not a tremendous gap there, so it's fine. But if I had to pick a side, I'd pick the Chicago side.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's a win-win. Slightly like it a little bit more for Chicago, but I don't hate it for Buffalo. I mean,
no.
they get a guy.
It makes sense.
They get a guy. Junkie, who was thanking us earlier and saying you did a good job, he said, "Okay, then you guys suck, and I hate listening to you
there
guys.
You go.
Bring back Four Heel." I think he meant to say Raheel.
Raheel? He's in the morning.
He said Four Heel.
Four Heel?
What's that?
No, I was going to make a Four Loko joke, but then I opted out.
Joe is wearing a Devin Hester jersey, Daisy Dukes, and boots with knee-high socks.
Don't need that.
What a visual.
Someone want to Photoshop that? Send it to us.
That is pasty.
But I don't want to see it in real life.
You could probably do it on Sora.
Yeah, you could probably ask AI to...
need to start playing around.
If we took a picture of Joe and took it to like Twitter's AI and say, "Hey, put him in Daisy Dukes and a cowboy hat," I bet it would do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see it, but it could happen.
Can things get that white? the upper thighs of Joe, could you imagine?
I don't want
that is?
To.
Probably white as your cup over there.
Yeah. I think so. Without the red lines, hopefully.
Who doesn't want to see that?
Most people.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. You know what most people also want, Brian? They want Reed Shepard to start. I don't care about that, but I do have a Rockets minute distribution that I think everybody can support. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe featuring Brian on ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You know what else everybody loves? Everybody loves March Madness. And did you know that NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston? Second weekend of the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, Elite 8 at the Toyota Center in Houston. Everybody loves March Madness. Buzzer beaters, cutting down some nets, a ticket to the Final Four will be punched. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at NCAA.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
75 says upper thighs. Jose, stop there. Some people call him Jose. Jose Jorge.
Once a month.
713-780-ESPN. What is Jose Jorge? He should have went on Tejano Night. They have Tejano Night at the rodeo. They do.
He should have live trained.
Why are you laughing at Tejano Night?
He should have. No, I'm laughing at the idea in my head of him mansplaining the lyrics to people who do other white people there.
Jose
like
Jorge.
Here, they're actually saying in translating him being a translator for the other gringos.
713-780-ESPN. What is Jose Jorge took the day off? Joe George took the day off. Jose Jorge's his Mexican alter ego. He took the day off to go to the rodeo, and we're asking people what is Joe wearing at the rodeo today. If you stop by and see him, yell at him, 713-780-ESPN. And somebody had to have used AI. Maybe it was just Joe. But it's a picture of Joe while he was hosting a show, and they put him in a pink leather jacket and a pink cowboy hat.
I think that's a real picture. I don't think that's AI. I think I've seen him wear that. I think so he got good. That while we were all working at 610.
This is why we call our listenership, the dozens and dozens of junkies, the most sophisticated listenership in sports, because this is the greatest thing I've ever
sophisticated
seen.
Sophisticated is the word for that? Hilarious is the word I would go with.
You don't think that's sophisticated?
I don't know if it's sophisticated.
I mean, I think people,
I'm nitpicking a little here.
People
but.
Who are hilarious are very smart, I think.
Not always.
It depends on their level of
depends on the style of humor,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it does. That's true. Because I don't think Theo Von is a genius, but Theo Von's very funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Theo Von's pretty dumb.
I think you could be dumb and unintentionally funny.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Joe is enough of a gringo that he thinks salt is spicy.
Hasta donde estés?
Somebody sent us a picture of Jose Jorge sliding into Tejano Night. That's not really a Photoshop.
I was hoping we had a Jose Jorge graphic.
Yeah, you need to Photoshop that with Jose Jorge. Use AI to put
We can.
A...
We can. Yeah, save that. We can. We can use that for the post. Yeah, what are we gonna do, Jose? Because you'll be busy next Thursday.
Yeah,
he's busy this Thursday.
He's off next Thursday and Friday too.
Yeah, so I guess it'll have to be the week after. We have to just move days.
Joe is the rodeo dressed as Attitude Era Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I can't see him doing the dance.
No.
Jeff Hardy dance.
Doing the dance would be hilarious. Will DJ Moore stop Josh Allen from going full stupid every playoff year? Full Jabari? No.
I mean, he went, not to make Branham's argument for him, but he went full stupid when he had Diggs. Why would have DJ Moore change anything?
He won't. Josh Allen's always going to go full Jabari. That's the way he is. Joe's wearing that Joe Kelly mariachi outfit. I hope not. I hope Joe's not dressed like Joe Kelly.
I don't think I've
seen
that photo. Should I look it up?
Nah, it's not really worth it. Oh, my goodness. Chris on Twitter.
That is text of the day?
Yeah, Chris on Twitter just won the – we can go text. Chris on Twitter.
Oof.
Just
those are some white thighs, Jeremy.
He just AI'd. ChatGPT, I don't know what he used, but he just got
it's
a picture of Joe.
One.
He's got him at the carnival at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Joe hitting the Heisman in a cowboy hat, a Walter Payton jersey, jorts, and cowboy boots.
Short jorts, too. Dukes.
And you can see the upper thigh.
Yeah, it's very white. I remember that. I think that's the photo. Remember when Sam made us do the football cards like a year or two ago? I think that's the photo they took. But shout out to Grok. It looks like he used the Twitter.
Is that what it is? Is it Grok?
Yeah, the AI on X is Grok. It looks like that's what he probably used. But that's pretty funny.
I'm so non-technology advanced. I don't even know how to tag Joe in this video.
The Grok AI is actually, like, you could just give it prompts. Like, give me a picture of this doing this. And it's pretty quick and not bad. I've used it for a few like jokes with friends on like text groups. It's not bad.
I just quote tweeted the tweet of the day. This is so good.
I will retweet.
That's the perfect. That's what you would imagine. Like,
yeah.
If you were thinking Joe at the rodeo,
that's what I had in my
wearing
head.
Jorts and cowboy boots. Like he he looks like an ugly SEC girl. That's what he looks like.
You can see him just holding something at an Ole Miss tailgating party.
He's hitting the Heisman, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Toto Mitotora.
Is Jose Jorge having a good time at the rodeo? We'll get to the Rockets minute distribution in a little bit. What's Joe George wearing at the rodeo? 713-780.
Yeah, that's far more entertaining than talking about minutes.
Josh from Seabrook just
shared
that tweet. I just tweeted it. It's out there.
It's definitely out there.
Joe is never going to forgive y'all for unleashing AI on him.
No.
I just sent him these pictures.
Oh, God.
I sent them to him, though. Joe, whenever I sent Joe the pink cowboy hat and the pink leather jacket, he said, WTF, who made that laughing emoji? I said a junkie. He said incredible, LOL. And then I just hit him with the Walter Payton and the jorts. He hasn't responded to that.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll
laugh
at that
one.
He
might not love that one.
Yeah, that one might go a little far.
Joe is wearing an Ella Langley shirt tucked in with some Wrangler jean shorts. I love Ella Langley. She's in Texas. Joe's wearing sweatpants, boots, and a Russell Dickerson merch booth t-shirt. I don't know if he's actually going to the concert, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's actually going to the concert. I think he's just having fun with the festival games. Probably eating a turkey leg. What's your go-to rodeo bite?
Corn dog is always a good one, but honestly, I haven't been in a long time.
Corn dog?
I'm just thinking of something that's fair food.
Turkey leg.
Yeah, turkey leg's all right.
We don't have the turkey leg, hut anymore.
Donut burger.
A what burger?
Donut burger.
Donut burger. Okay. Is that like a glazed donut that uses the bun? I mean, I try it once. Funnel That's cake. Awful. I like funnel cake. I'm trying to think of fair food. Honestly, I haven't been in quite a while. But those are the top two things. I know they've got fried everything there. Fried Oreos are good if you've never had that. I assume those are out there.
I don't love my food deep fried, unless they're French fries.
I know you had that taken away from the flavor of the item you're trying to enjoy.
Joe's wearing those super long Mexican pointy cowboy boots. He wouldn't wear that, though, unless it was Tejano night. Ryan, 0% chance Joe owns a Pearl Snap shirt. I love a good old Pearl Snap.
Zero percent.
Chris from Sam Houston, fresh corn dogs are good.
Yeah.
Where do you get corn dogs these days, Sonic?
Sonic has, well,
I guess Sonic's
50-50. Like, if you get it hot, kind of like you would have this take with, like, French fries in certain places, it's pretty good. But sometimes they bring it out to you, man. That thing is lukewarm and just bad. But, like,
corn dog place.
It is. Like, it's one of those things that's, there's no in between with a Sonic corn dog. It's either hot, crunchy, and great, or it's not that and terrible.
Ryan, every time you talk, I feel like you're whispering sweet nothings into my ear.
Yeah, you got to talk a little louder, Ryan.
It's like he's trying to seduce me. Hey, how you doing? Warm corn dogs are great.
Warm corn dogs are great. Have you ever tried it with mustard on it?
I'll start serenading.
Mustard on warm corn dogs just really hits the spot.
I don't know if anybody can hear you.
You got to speak up a little bit.
You're mumbling a little bit.
Speak as loudly as Joe's pink cowboy outfit in that picture.
If you want to learn how to speak on that side of the glass, I mean, just talk to Brian over here. He'll be loud and with plenty
That's
of volume.
Right. Authority.
713-780-ESPN. All right, let's get to this. We go from Joe George, upper thighs, very pasty, to pasty Houston Rocket and Reed Sheppard. No, we can do this the rest of the show. 713-780-3776. What is Joe George wearing at the rodeo today? But also when we come back, the Rockets minute distribution that everybody's clamoring for. I figured it out. It's easy. It's easy math. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.